Hello and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Nolan Giles. Through the Looking Glasses is a new title from Little Brown that delves into the history of eyewear, from primitive visual aids to the designer glasses that people wear today. Let's hear from the book's author, Travis Elborough, who shares the curious history behind the spectacle.
This is an account of glasses written by a lifelong glasses wearer. The book is a tour through the history of glasses, you know, beginning in the world before glasses even existed, and then moving through into the Middle Ages when the first types of spectacles were developed, and then right up to the present day to augmented reality devices like Google Glass. And you know, through that history also covering such things as contact lenses, glasses in films, glasses in books, famous glasses wearer, and the various types of styles of glasses that have emerged since the rivet spectacle was first invented in 1286. Or thereabouts. It's disputed, obviously, like everything else. The Roman Emperor Nero is supposed to have watched gladiatorial contests with the aid of an emerald, which supposedly he either held in front of his face or used something like, as almost like a sunshade. So there's a long history of people actually using coloured glass and thinking it has a medicinal quality. But it really isn't until the 20th century that the idea of wearing a pair of tinted glasses becomes cool. Prior to that, really, you know, if you're wearing tinted glasses, even if it's to protect your eyes from the sun, what it usually means is you have, you know, either weak eyes, or you might be blind or have an eye condition. So it's suddenly in the 20th century that comes unraveled when people start seeking glasses to do sports. I mean, the arrival of things like the aeroplanes and the motor car, which mean people are travelling faster. And even prior to that, you have things which are called railway glasses or railway spectacles, which were more like goggles that had side pieces on them. And these were to stop smoke and bits of soot and stuff going in your eyes. So I guess there's another thing that happens, which is around the same time you have reform in dress, in a way. Women start bobbing their hair in the late teens and into the 1920s. So hairstyles start getting, like, I mean, men's hair has obviously lost the Victorian whiskers and all that stuff, and these sleeked back hair. Actually, in F. Scott Fitzgerald's first novel, This Side of Paradise, he describes this type, which is known as the slicker, who have their hair slicked back and wear these big, round, owl-like glasses made of plastic. It's a recognisable style and a recognisable type by the 1920s. What people want is, you know, is clean lines, neat stuff, and plastic, you know, fits all that, and with the arrival of radio, Bakelite, and so on. So it folds into to a broader series of design changes which are happening in that period with the arrival of motion pictures and the radio.
All right, quiet on the set.
Camera speed.
Sound production, take one.
Action!
You have obviously the arrival of Hollywood movies. So largely to avoid Edison's copyright on film production, film companies move west and they move to California, where they can take advantage of the sunlight, but also more cannily avoid some of those patents. And the California government is welcoming those people in, so eventually they get to stay and make movies. But a knock-on effect of this is obviously that movie stars are, you know, pictured hanging around in sunny California locations. Sunglasses, again, become associated with glamour and with sophistication and with modernity, again, because they're often made of plastic, the frames are plastic, the tinted lenses. So it's only really in the early 20th century that the idea of UV light and what damage it might be doing to the eyes is fully realised. And a few people start developing lenses to try and prevent damage from UV light. And one of the most famous is an English chemist and physicist and former spiritualist, Sir William Crookes. And he's actually trying to develop something protective lens for welders, but in the end it becomes a thing for helping out with sunglasses and feeds into the early generation of sunglasses. So you just have this moment in a way where the suntan has also, by the 1920s and 30s, become a fashionable thing to have rather than a symbol of, you know, labouring outdoors. So in the 20th century, sunglasses and the like come out of, you know, increased leisure pursuits as well. I think we're probably in a good period for glasses. People are, you know, they have become fashionable. They, you know, they have become, I mean, they've been fashionable before, and they've always enjoyed moments of fashionability. But there's less stigma about glasses, I think, at the moment, and there are more interesting styles and designs and things out there than perhaps there have been at various other points in time.
My thanks to Travis Elbrow there. He was speaking to Maylee Evans. Through the Looking Glasses is published by Little Brown and available at good bookstores now. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length programme. It airs on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time. Today's episode was produced by Maylee Evans and edited by Chris Ablakwa. Our researchers are Nick Manise and Charlie Filmacourt. I'm Nolan Giles. Thank you for listening and goodbye.